Welcome. It is the Friday Lori and Julia show here on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Holly is in for Lori today. Got a good show lined up for you. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk lots of television with the Star Tribune's Neil Justin. We've got Friday Picks. We have got Beat Kazam. Or is it Shazam? It's Beat Shazam.
Shazam.
Beat Shazam.
You know, either or.
We have a special thing
maybe happening.
And we what?
We have a special thing happening at 5, so we'll keep you...
Oh, okay.
You know, sit back and buckle up. And you know what they say today is Fry-yay.
That is true.
Happy Fry-yay.
I don't get it.
It's Friday.
Oh.
You know, Fry-yay. They say that it's Fry-yay.
Fry-yay. Yeah,
Friday, so it's correct.
Okay. Right, happy Fry-yay. Happy gloomy, rainy Fry-yay.
Oh, my gosh. Where is the sun? Where is the sun, I ask?
Yeah. Where are my two little girls that want to say hi to us, Donnie?
Oh, our two little girls that want to say hi to us? Well, they're right here.
We love pink, and we love the fluffy dresses.
Oh, Rosie. Rosie and what is her name, Grace?
Rosie and Grace.
Is it Sophia Grace?
Sophia Grace.
That's
I've missed those little girls.
Yeah. Well, aren't they all grown up at this point?
Well, Sophia Grace has a major Instagram following.
Yeah, she's done.
And she's a YouTube sensation. I love her.
I'm totally off the radar as far as that.
Oh, I love them.
Okay.
And I was looking at something in Forever, these two little twins on Instagram. It kind of seems like a day to just look at happy things or listen to happy, funny things.
Mm-hmm.
And Forever and Eva are two little twins that dress up on Instagram. And their mother is just... a fashionista, and they always look so cute. They're like, you know, 3 and 4 maybe now. They're so cute. But twins, so they're probably the same age.
Probably. I mean, you're assuming.
Did you just say that?
I did.
Yeah, I hope you took that and
probably
and made
the same age.
Yeah. One would assume.
I know it. Here we go.
Okay, good start.
All right, well, let's see. Here's something funny that happened at a Waffle House today, and
something completely different.
Yeah,
I know, something completely different, but a couple practically leaped out of their seats during a visit to a Waffle House in Florida when their ice water came with stomach-churning surprise. It was a dead frog. We were served a whole dead frog, so whoever was serving the water, it was a bus person, gets the water right to the table right away. There's a dead, you know, you just pour it and there's a dead frog in
there. Well, I mean, it's a Waffle House, Julia. I mean, have you been to a Waffle House before?
No, but we have.
I have.
They're not that bad.
Okay. We don't have them in Minnesota.
I know. I've been to them in Florida.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have been to them. I know.
In Florida, it's not a slice of lemon in your water.
I mean, it's a slice of frog.
Waffle House is where you end up at 3 a.m. after you've made some questionable decisions and you're hungry.
Like, it's like where Embers used to be. Remember the Embers? Yeah. Noon.
Embers is kind of, I would say, a little classier than Waffle House.
A step up than Waffle House.
But that being said, I do like Waffle House.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, okay. All of that said, it's a good
place
to eat.
So speaking of Waffle House, I think it comes up in one of the mean tweets. So Blake Shelton, everyone's been giving him so much crap that he's not sexy, he's not this, he shouldn't be named sexiest man alive.
Because he's not sexy and he shouldn't be sexiest man alive.
Hang on a second, I gotta grab it.
All right, so here is what Gwen Stefani... posted a photo of Blake on her Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
And it was hashtag sexiest man alive at people is my best friend. Number one luckiest girl in the world. Hashtag truth. So she's supporting her guy. But here's Blake Shelton reading some of, because Twitter just exploded with everyone being mean and doing mean things like Twitter does most of the time. So here is Blake reading. Donnie, can you turn it up a little? Blake reading his mean tweets.
Yeah, I'll start it again.
Okay.
Hey guys, Blake Shelton here, and I'm backstage at the Ellen Show, and I'm just wallowing, celebrating my People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive honor that's been bestowed upon me. And I wanted to look at social media and see what's being said out there by my supportive people. And so I just wanted to read you some of my favorite mean posts. Yeah. Woke up this morning to news that Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive. R.I.P. every sexy man in the world who died in the great sexy plague of 2017 overnight. You will be missed. Woke up and saw Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive. Did a bunch of celebrities die or something last night? Blake Shelton is sexy if you like a guy who's always about to lean in and tell you about a hearty, healthy American dog food. Blake Shelton looks like the dad in a drug commercial where they list off the side effects at the end while you watch him build a birdhouse.
That's a good one.
Blake Shelton isn't even the sexiest man at this Waffle House.
There you go.
Blake Shelton might be the sexiest guy at a San Fernando Valley Country Club turned strip mall, but that's about it. Here's my favorite from Jonas. We may be living in a time of division and strife, but at least People Magazine has united us in our certainty that Blake Shelton is not the sexiest man alive.
That is right.
I thought it was brilliant for him to read those, you know, because people are saying just unbelievable things about him. I liked it. I like him.
Okay.
Yeah, but is he sexiest man alive?
We're not going to even visit that.
We already know how you feel about
it. We do.
Okay.
You don't think so?
No, of course not.
Yeah, we discussed this the other day. He's not the man we want to see without his shirt.
No. Yeah. All right.
All right.
But I would if I had to.
Oh, okay. So, like, if you're at the Waffle House, so would you rather, Julia, would you rather drink the glass of water with a frog in it or, you know, do something with Blake Shelton?
That isn't even a fair question. Of course.
Of course. It's the frog water, right?
Yeah. That's
that
for you.
A nice little tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, now that would be gross. That would be when, yuck. All right. So when we come back, we got a little hanging out at the couch. Macklemore and T-Pain sat down with Andy Cohen last night. Gosh, they were just fun. It was a fun night on TV. We'll be right back. You're listening to Lori and Julia, My Talk 107.1.
Recently,
happy Friday.
Oh, boy.
Indeed. Oh, she's going to make it a thing. It's like fetch. It's like Julia's fetch.
Right? Happy Friday. Makes me happy to just say it. It brings a smile to your face.
Okay.
Happy Friday. Okay, so last night, Andy had in the clubhouse with him Macklemore and T-Pain. And Macklemore was dressed in what is back in style now, but the jean jacket, the faded jean jacket with the faded jeans, with just like a t-shirt underneath.
The Canadian tuxedo.
Yes.
I love a Canadian tuxedo.
I do too, but it was the faded look.
Distressed.
Distressed.
Sure.
And then T-Pain is just all decked out, wearing sunglasses with bling on the side. I mean, he just looked amazing. It was just such a fun combination, those two sitting down. So here's Macklemore, the rapper, talking about, he'll explain.
Yes. Penny H texted, I love that you have a naked Justin Bieber with pancakes over his junk painting. Has he ever reached out to you about it? Have you ever interacted with him about it?
Not about the painting, no. You know, I bought it on Etsy as like a white elephant Santa gift.
Okay.
That at the end of the night just stayed at my house. No one took it.
Okay.
I'm very proud of it. And it's become a huge headline.
It has.
It's like Macklemore owns a naked Justin Bieber pancake painting.
Right.
And it's part of my thing now.
Right, yeah. Right. That makes sense.
So it goes right above my bed. And, you know, whenever I'm with my wife, intimately, I can always stare if I want to control my orgasm.
Right.
That's all
right. Slow it down, you know.
Right, hold it back.
Slow it down.
Hold
That's
it
good
back.
Stuff. That's
yeah.
good
yeah.
stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very good. What you've interacted with Justin Bieber, but not about that. Am I to understand
the funniest
that?
Photo.
Yes.
Okay.
It is the funniest photo. He bought it on Etsy.
This was hanging up at the Waffle House.
This is hysterical.
Yeah,
and so it's a painting, and underneath his neck, he's got maple syrup going down his buff chest all the way down to his happy trail. And this apparently he has 70s. He's rocking a 70s pubes. And right balancing on top of the pubes is a black frying pan with a pancake on it and a slab of butter.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
Let's note that the pancake is also horizontal, okay? It's not like it's, you know...
What?
It's propped up.
Right. It's propped up like the pancake is having a Woody.
Oh.
It's very funny.
Okay.
It could be yours for $20 because it's still on sale on Etsy.
It's very funny. But... Do you guys
just want to let you know?
I know.
If you're interested.
Now I know what to get my dog.
Like I love white elephant parties and white elephant presents and collect things throughout the years to give away at them.
Okay, this person has a great Etsy account. He has pancakes on all sorts of people. If you care to know, it's the painter of pancakes at Etsy. If you're on your computer,
I love it. I think it's so funny. He was so cute last night. Now here's. Here's rapper T-Pain talking about, let's listen to him. He explains it.
Now that Kanye and Kim are expecting again, have you changed your mind on getting a gift?
Oh, no, I'm still not getting a gift. No. I would really love to. I would really love to get him a gift, but
you feel he's too rich.
Yeah. Like, what do you get him? You know, right. What do you get the baby that's already got that baby? It's like you got to gift it a baby. You got to bring a baby to the baby shower and just drop it off. Just go
adopt another. You got to give him a baby.
Like, that's, it's so legendary. Like, Kanye is a legend. Kim is also a legend in every sense of the word. And I just don't know. I don't want to mess around and like belittle them. Like,
yes.
I don't want Kanye to grab like, what is this?
Right. You don't want to belittle them with a plushie toy.
I feel like at one point they said that they don't even want to give gifts to their kids anymore.
No, I think you're right about that. Yeah. And no, you know who that was Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Yeah, that's true. But also Kim and Kanye.
Oh, they did too.
I think that they said that they at least wanted to rein in the gift giving thing.
Yeah.
So I would assume that if you go to a Kim and Kanye party, they know their rich is blank.
Right.
So what are they?
You just show up. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, T-Pain.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
All right. So here he's talking about, you know, he had a beef with Jay-Z.
Dan W. wants to know how you and Jay-Z squashed your beef over his song Death of Auto-Tune.
We both found out it was never beef. It was miscommunication between camps, and the camps were telling us, and it was kind of like a game of telephone, how the message gets a little misconstrued by the end. By the time it gets to me, it was all messed up, and by the time it got to him, it was a completely different story. Then I saw him at after a Grammy party, it was like, hey, did you also hear that? It was like, no, I heard this.
It was a miscommunication between teams?
Yeah.
That's very irritating.
It was cool. It was awkward for me because I had two drinks. So that was my first time meeting him. So obviously I'm supposed to shake his hand, but there wasn't any tables around.
Right.
So I couldn't. So I had to like.
You give him the elbow?
I couldn't give him the elbow. I didn't want to do anything because if I tried to, he was going to like hit it extra hard. I'm going to spill my drink on him.
Right.
And then Beyonce was behind him, so I couldn't hug her because I would have obviously. It was just too much. Right. I didn't want to. So we kind of just bust one of those. And that was it. Yeah, we scratched that a while ago. That was like 2009.
Those are rich people problems when muddle up the communication between someone else's people when you don't just pick up the phone. That's funny though. But I mean, T-Pain was the smaller person. And so.
Fame wise.
Yes. Yes. Now here he's talking. Oh, he was friends with Michael Jackson.
Hey, Andy, my question is for T-Pain.
Okay.
First.
What was the most surreal part about Michael Jackson inviting you to his home?
Woo. Ah, man. Yeah. That was.
Well, did he invite you to Neverland?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I don't think so.
I didn't hear rides in the back, so no. I don't know where Neverland's located, but where I went, it was just, it was definitely five of my houses. I think the most surreal part of visiting Michael was he said that, at the time, that's right when I dropped the song Bartender with Akon, and he said that is the first physical CD in 4 years that he bought.
Wow.
So he went. Damn. He actually went himself and bought that physical single. Then that's the first one he's done that with in 4 years.
What did you do at his house? Did he serve you anything?
We ate plain tortilla chips.
Okay.
Nothing on them, nothing with them. Dude brought him in with the glove, with the joint going over the joint. It's like, your tortilla chip.
Like a bag of Tostitos?
They were in a bowl. They were in an all-white bowl. It was the most amazing bowl you ever seen in your life.
Right.
Those were the tastiest chips I ever had in my life.
Wow.
Kicking it out with Michael Jackson. He had on the Dirty Diana boots. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Now, he was fully dressed.
Wow.
Like, he was like concert dressed.
Wow.
I'm starting to think those were the only clothes he had. Not just that outfit. I'm just saying, if you open Michael Jackson's closet, it's all concert clothes.
Right.
And one.
It actually makes sense. I can't picture him in like a pair of khakis.
Yeah. You don't want to see Michael Jackson in feety pajamas?
Right.
Oh, jeez. I bet he had some.
Yeah.
I bet he had some. And you were mentioning, Holly, this T-Pain has his first album out in 6 years, Oblivion.
That's right. And I think from all reviews that I'm kind of looking over is that people are liking it. And he's kind of going back to his auto-tune days. That's with Bartender. That was one of those songs.
Should we listen to Bartender?
The Bartender.
Is there a are we concerned about lyrics?
I'm sure that you could find a clean version of it.
But, I mean, T-Pain, but he also, you reminded me, he sang with Flo Rida and our song forever on this show, Danny. Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
Was he on that?
He sung the hook.
Oh, he sang the hook.
Looking at her, she hit the floor.
She hit the floor.
Next thing you know, she got low, 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 low.
Yeah, that's played at every single wedding that you will ever go to in the history of ever.
We sang it every Friday for a year.
But it's such a good song.
It is a great song.
I love it.
We might have to sing that today.
Oh, okay. That's turn it up a little bit.
Change it up, maybe.
We're doing the Supremes today.
I know, but I feel like Apple Bottom Jeans.
Boots with the fur.
We might have to change it, Donnie.
Okay.
Well, we might have to do that.
We can contemplate that.
We may have to. Okay, so I love this song. Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coat, sitting on dubs, sitting on dubs. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love. Show me some love. If you know what I mean.
Everybody jacking me as soon as I stepped in the spot. That's T-Pain.
I like it.
The clean version of Bartender.
I like it. I'm glad
there are some lyrics that we could play on the radio.
I know.
Oh, really.
So Sunday night, the AMAs are on, the American Music Awards. They're going to be hosted by
Tracee Ellis Ross.
Yes, who is the daughter of Diana Ross, who's winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. We've got new songs coming up later in the show. And when we come back, Neil Justin is going to be with us to tell us how to get our Jimmy Fallon tickets for the after show after the Super Bowl. So stay with us. It's Lori and Julia, My Talk. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We've got Neil Justin with us from the Star Tribune talking everything. Neil.
Everything.
You're just going to, you're talking everything entertainment.
Quite a challenge. Okay. Let me see what I can do.
Okay. All right. First and foremost, you know how people should, you can tell us how we're going to get tickets to go see Jimmy Fallon after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
How do we do that, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can go to, if you go to StarTribune.com, we have all the information there. But basically, there's not much you can do until December 22nd. That's when tickets will be released. And it's going to be tough based on all the inquiries I've gotten in the last few days. It's going to be a hot ticket.
I know. You're remembering all your good friends like Lori and Julia?
Listen, I'm going to be lucky if I get it. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on, so maybe it won't be as tough as I think it is, and it's a big venue.
Where is it?
It's going to be at the Orpheum Theater,
and
tickets for these shows are free, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy to get. So, not much you can do until December 22nd. You do have to sign up to some sort of membership. I couldn't quite figure it out.
So it doesn't
hurt to go. Again, all the instructions are at StarTribune.com, and you can go and at least sign up so that you're on a special list. But actually putting your name in the hat, you can't do until December 22nd.
So you can't do anything till December 22nd.
Well, the only other thing you can do is there's an HBO fundraiser called Night of Too Many Stars that is airing Saturday night. Jon Stewart's hosting. A lot of big names can be a part of it. The Jimmy Fallon Show is offering up a chance to come to the Super Bowl. They'll fly you in, of course, if you're local. You don't need that.
I'm going to go somewhere else and have them fly me back.
Yeah. And it's night at a very nice hotel. I'm not sure which one. And you get to meet Fallon, and you get to go to the show, and you get Super Bowl tickets.
Nice.
But you have to donate to Research for Autism, which is what the charity is. And the more tickets you buy, the more tickets you get.
The more chances you get to win.
The more chances you get, correct. That information on how to enter that contest is also at StarTribune.com. But obviously that's going to be very competitive as well. But there's all kinds of good stuff you can win, including a dinner with Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Serious?
I know that the chance to hang out with Trevor Noah on The Daily Show. So there's all kinds of chances to interact with comedians if you donate. And it's a great cause, and that special will be on tomorrow night on HBO.
Oh, cool. All right. Excellent. That's good information. That was the one Louis C.K. they pulled him out of, right?
Yeah, Louis C.K. will no longer
be part of
the night of too many stars. One too many stars.
One too many star. All right. So, Neil, you talked about in this week in one of your articles about here's Johnny or there's Johnny.
Right.
Can you tell us about that?
I can tell you that it's coming from Paul Reiser. He's not in it. But it's another look back at the power of the Tonight Show and Johnny Carson, a very different age for stand-up where everything pretty much had to go through the Johnny Carson show if you were going to make it in the business. There was another show that has a similar theme that came out earlier this year on Showtime called I'm Dying Up Here, which is going to end up being one of my favorite shows of the year.
Oh, really?
It's about the stand-up comics, right?
It's about stand-up comics in L.A. Jim Carrey is one of the executive producers. I really loved it. I thought it was great. But again, this show also takes you back. This is more of a coming-of-age story, seen through the eyes of a youngish 20-year-old kid who ends up with a job behind the scenes of The Tonight Show. And it's kind of an interesting, I only saw one episode, and I sort of liked it. It was a little cutesy, but it's got a great performance from a young actor named Jane, I think her last name is Levy or Levy.
Right.
She was on a show I really liked a lot a couple years ago called Suburgatory.
Yes, okay.
And she plays a talent agent behind the scenes as well. I also just saw her in a new series that may be airing on Amazon with Glenn Close called, I think it's called Red Oaks. She's a terrific young actress. I like her a lot.
Oh, yeah, I think the pilot's on Amazon right now for that show.
The pilot is on Amazon, so it's not sure whether it'll get picked up or not. It's kind of interesting. Glenn Close gets to play kind of a foul-mouthed ghost who comes back to help her grandchildren. I sort of liked it. But I think Jane Levy is a real star in the making. But if you're interested in how stand-up used to work, and I'm fascinated with everything about The Tonight Show.
Right.
So I was kind of a sucker for it. But if you really want to get a sense of that time in that world, look back at Showtime's I'm Dying Up Here.
That sounds good.
Which I really liked a lot.
All right. What else is out there that you're liking right now?
Well, coming next week, there's some really good stuff on Netflix right now. And there's two series coming out next week that I'm really high on. One is called Godless, which is a Western. And it's very much kind of in the vein of Deadwood. I know there were a ton of Deadwood fans that are waiting for a Deadwood reunion.
Especially, we miss all the swearing.
Yeah, well, this one has swearing, too. And it's got that time period down, and it's got a couple of big names. Sam Waterston's in it, and Jeff Daniels, who Mr. Nice Guy.
Yep.
Well, he plays evil in this. I mean, beyond evil. And it's really fun to see a guy who we're so used to as Mr. Nice Guy wearing a black hat. I've seen a couple episodes. I really liked it a lot.
Okay.
I think it's again, people like really gritty, unapologetic Westerns. Steven Soderbergh is one of the producers on it.
Neil, is that the show where all the men in the town were killed in some sort of a tragic accident, and it's all just the town is all women?
No.
Okay.
That's one of your sexual fantasies, Donnie.
Oh, sorry, I got that mixed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, a town is wiped out, but no.
What channel?
I don't know. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm sorry. And, of course you
said. Yeah, the other thing on Netflix that was kind of a pleasant surprise is a remake of She's Gotta Have It. Spike Lee has gone back and done a TV version. It's not a continuation. It starts again with Enola Darling. It's set today. And it is, and Spike Lee directed, I think, all the episodes. It's good, sexy fun. You kind of forget that Spike Lee used to inject a lot of sex appeal into his his movies, going back to Jungle Fever and She's Got a Habit, and even some parts of Do the Right Thing. I always remember that opening sequence of Do the Right Thing with Rosie Perez dancing around. This is real sexy, and the young woman who plays Nola Darling, I can't think of her name right now. I'd never seen her before. And it's kind of about, you know, a woman who's pretty sexually liberated, but sort of the hindrances that come with that. We've seen that in shows like Insecure
and
Sex and the City. But this is pretty bold, and it's not for kids.
Her name is Nola Darling.
Nola Darling. Mm-hmm. So people who remember She's Got a Habit remember the Nola Darling in there. And Spike is not in this as he was in the first one. There's somebody else playing Mars Blackman. But I thought it was terrific.
All right. Have you watched Smilf?
I have.
Do you like it?
I watched about three episodes. I did. I didn't think it was hilarious.
Right.
But again, we're in such an interesting time period right now where women are telling stories
we haven't
seen enough of in the past, and they're sexually frank and interesting protagonists that created and steered by women. You know, Pamela Adlon in Better Things, Issa Rae in Insecure.
Yep.
Rather than guys telling women's stories like Sex and the City and Ally McBeal, these are women taking control and telling stories that are not sunshiny all the time. Certainly Smilf has some pretty dark periods.
Yeah, it does.
But I think she's really interesting. Rosie O'Donnell is kind of fun as the mom.
She is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't laugh out loud at
Neither
anything,
did I.
But I rooted for her. I liked her. I thought it captured Boston in a pretty interesting way. I'm eager to finish the season. I've seen about three episodes, and I liked it. What did you think?
I felt I liked it, too, but it wasn't anything that I expected it was going to be.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of shows right now in
yes,
that
sir.
Vein, and it's not the top of my list.
It isn't.
But, I mean, I didn't find it as interesting as Insecure.
No, that I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah, but it's different. And, you know, not every show about sexually liberated but frustrated single women has to be exactly the same.
You're right.
Right.
So I think some people will relate to this, especially the mother-daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of reminded that Rosie O'Donnell is a capable
actress. Yes, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that is... That's a good halfway thumbs up for it.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty accurate way of putting it.
Go check it out if you want.
Neil, thank you so much. Can you tell people how to follow you on Twitter?
It's very simple. It's Neil Justin, NealJustin. And
also in the Star Tribune. We love reading you. I'm reading you now.
You are?
Yeah.
Only took 15 years.
Yeah, that's very thoughtful.
Neil, I'm being really, I'm being honest.
Yeah, what turned the switch?
Well, just trying to do a little bit better job.
There you go.
She's giving it the old college try.
And you're 15.
Yes, exactly.
It's never too soon. Honey, have a good weekend,
thank
and thanks
you.
For your time,
you
okay?
Guys too.
Okay. All right, so when we come back, I've got to ask you guys something, and I want other people to weigh in, so we hope you call us. We'll be right back. 651-641-1071. What would the title of your memoir be? So there's a new article out about how good it would be for people if you wrote your memoir now. Not thinking it's going to get published, but it's a way for you to look at your life, look at your accomplishments, put it all down on paper, think, boy, I've done a good job, or maybe I can do better kind of thing. And so this morning on the Today Show, they had the different hosts come up with the names of their memoirs, and they put pictures on them. And so Savannah Guthrie has this photo of herself when she's young and chubby and cute, and it just said, like you. And she said she just likes everybody. She likes to meet people. She likes knowing about them. Al Roker's would be... there's always sunshine under my umbrella or something.
A weather
thing, looking at a happy, happy thing.
Yeah.
Carson
Daly.
Yes, thank you. His was something about TRL, you know, he did Total Request Live, mm-hmm. but Total Rock and Roll Life or something. He mixed the letters around. Okay. And then on Matt Lauer's, it was really funny. They posted a photo of him on the cover, and his was Life's a Drag, and it's, you know, because he's dressed up five different times on holidays.
Oh, yeah. On Halloween.
And drag queen outfits. Okay. I mean, do you ever, what would, you know, and this is, that's just hard. Like instant, I thought of mine right away.
What is it?
Can we talk?
What is it?
Can we talk?
I know we're talking, but what is the title of your memoir?
Can we talk?
Oh, I get it.
Only a Joan Rivers thing.
A Joan Rivers quote.
Yes. Can we talk?
I feel like people would say that you were stealing that
totally,
from Joan Rivers.
Totally, but that was the one that came to my mind. That was just something about talking.
I stole my life from Joan Rivers.
Yeah, or I just want to know about you for 20 minutes, and then can you go away?
Oh, well, that's great. Not interested. Go away. Yeah, well.
No,
thank you.
No,
feigning interest.
No,
I like not interested. Go away.
Yeah.
No, I'm interested for 20 minutes.
How about feigning interest?
No. ADD.
Yeah. Well, now
ADD
we're
is us. Yeah, yes. I know. But I don't know if people ever, you know, I just thought it was the cutest thing. And, you know, do you ever think, have you ever wanted to write a book?
Well, not about my life. Not a memoir.
But it would be, no one's ever going to see it. I mean,
no one's ever going to see it.
You see where this would be kind of helpful?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's journaling. It's writing a diary. I think lots of people do this all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you journal?
No, I don't. I like the idea of journaling, but the actual practice of journaling.
I get 5 days in a row and then I'm done.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
I'm so good for 5 days.
And then
all over.
And six again, feigning interest. I think that this could work for this title for your memoir.
And that's about it.
And that's about it.
I just want to know about feigning interest. Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought it was Donnie. Do you know what you would want to call yours? He's on the phone.
Donnie's taking a call.
I know it. I know it. But you,
What would my title be? Let's see. It would be The Man They Call Love.
Oh my gosh. So you're writing a spy novel / memoir.
See, they won't know. I did get a suggestion for the name of your memoir, Julia.
What?
And I'm surprised you did not come up with this. Julia's memoir will be titled...
Why?
Yes.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
Please.
Of course. Thank you.
Just why?
Thank you.
Julia.
Whoever called in with that suggestion, thank you so much.
Thank you. Of course that's what it would be called. But oh my gosh. I thought it was kind of an interesting, but you're right. It's journaling. And yes. I've threatened so many times. I've started them all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. But then the execution of the idea is always a difficult part.
The one thing that I've stuck with all year this year, my one thing, was making my bed every morning first thing when I got out of it.
You're doing that still every morning?
Mm-hmm. Every morning.
Nice.
Every let it air out a little
Can
bit?
You bounce a quarter off those sheets?
Should let it air out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it airs out at night because my covers are all akimbo. I mean, they're thrown everywhere.
Got like one leg hanging out.
I do. No, and I can't have my feet tucked in the end and all that kind of stuff is going on. A Man Called Love. Donnie, honest.
Well, it's kind of creative, isn't it?
Well,
yes, I like it, Donnie, because it gives nothing away. It's a completely made up thing. Who knows if he's actually talking about his real life or not?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that knowing you, Donnie, that's probably what you want to do.
Keep him guessing.
Keep him guessing.
Oh, keep him guessing 100%.
Did Holly come up with one?
No.
Come on.
How about, that was weird.
That was weird by Holly Roberts.
Yeah, that was weird.
Hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think life is very weird sometimes, and the experience of being a human being is strange and it's weird. And it's.
Are you comparing it to the experience of being a cat or some other experience? You know, I'm being a smartass right now.
Of course you're being. Oh, yes. I was taking you very, very seriously, Julia, and I was going to give you a very, very studied and serious answer on that.
So what would Lori's be, Julia, if you were to name Lori's memoir?
Me.
Whoa!
No! That's a joke.
Whoa!
You want to know what I've always thought it should be?
What?
Wow. She got a tattoo when we worked together at Carlson Companies in like 1991.
Was
she went to Seattle and she got a tattoo. No, it was behind her neck and underneath her hair. Cause she had longer hair back then. And it was a Chinese symbol. And I said, oh my gosh.
Oh no. Did she get the wrong thing?
No.
Okay.
She didn't, but she wanted a Chinese symbol. And so she told me what it was. And I said, that is not the right one for you. It says beauty. And I always thought it should just say, wow.
I don't know.
She is a wow to me.
Okay.
Really?
In all aspects. And, no, but she's just a bigger than life personality. Some things that come out of her mouth, some things about her life. I mean, I just think when you lift it up and people say, what does it say, beauty? I think it should just say, wow.
Did she explain to you why she selected that?
That was what they had.
I've got one for Lori.
Okay. Wow.
This could be Lori's title of Lori's memoir and something she has said herself.
Just sometimes it's exhausting to be me.
Yes. There we go.
It's exhausting to be me. By Lori Barghini, I like that. Or I was just going to say, insert sex joke here.
That is funny too.
Just insert sex joke here. Anything, because that's one of Lori's superpowers, is that she can turn anything into a sexual metaphor.
She can.
Yeah.
Anything.
Anything.
Isn't that funny?
You mentioned pretzel, she makes it a sex joke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is that act, the pretzel.
I know.
See, again, I mean, with the legs.
Oh my gosh. When I first met her, I remember the things that would come out of her mouth, and I'd just be like, did you really just say that?
We're still saying that.
As much.
Well, no.
I mean, I am still in awe many a day, but I just remember I just was so intrigued by how off the chart she was compared to me. We were so different when we first met. We've come together more so in the middle.
You've had like a mind meld.
Just kind of how we dressed, how we do this. And now we always wear the same thing every day. You know, it's just kind of interesting. But I just think, wow. Or like you said, Donnie, it's exhausting to be me.
Yes, I like that. I like that. It has a little ring to it.
Because she would say that. Yeah. So she will be back on Monday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
With tales to tell.
Oh, I'm sure. Discombobulated.
Oh, yeah, always.
Yeah, so if you want to tune into the latest sex metaphors or you want to listen to some discombobulatedness.
Oh, no, she's hysterical when she comes back because she sits and complains about how exhausted she is. And Donnie and I just are like,
I'm playing my tiniest violin for you, Lori. Let me bust it out for you. It's a Stradivarius.
Stop talking.
We just sit and laugh like, really? Really? All right, well. We will be right back. Shazam is coming up where you can get totally frustrated trying to guess names of songs with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1, streaming live all the time.